This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hump day. Sharp Money here on a Wednesday. Jared Smith in for Patrick Maher today. Dustin Sweetelson here as well. A bit of a different vibe today for the first day this week. I think we had one random day game earlier in the week, but we had a full a menu of baseball afternoon games. I could see the televisions lined here at the D in downtown Las Vegas. It's a little footy. I guess there's some Olympic matches happening today.
There's soccer.
There's some the footy. As they say, football across the pond, but here it's soccer. Where are you on the soccer football debate? Do you care about that?
I'm American, so it doesn't exist.
That's fair. So speaking of American, America's pastime. That is really the soup du jour today. We will get to a full card. Dustin's got picks for this afternoon slate of games. I've got a Nerfy at Coors Field. Goodness gracious, hold your breath. Coming up in about 10 minutes. But first, preview today's show. Another fantastic show booked by our fantastic producer, Dustin Sweetelson. So coming up bottom of the hour, Eric Lindquist. Skatastic, oddshopper.com handicapper. Awesome stuff. I've been following him for a while. Ted Wynn, another just brainiac when it comes to breaking down NFL films. The Athletic analyst, he will come on at the top of our next hour. Then Matt Sims of the Believe Network, quarterback guru, is going to come on talk a little bit more NFL. Scott Grayson from Philly, 97.3 ESPN radio reporter down there for the Eagles, is going to come on as well. I know Dustin and I are very heavily invested in some Philadelphia Eagles futures props heading into the season. And finally, bottom of our last hour, Jay Croucher. I haven't talked to this guy in a while. Excited to get Jay's thoughts. Just a wide-ranging topics, obviously NFL top of mind as we start to get ready for training camp. With some news and notes that we'll get to in a minute. But first, we have baseball games starting very soon. Dustin, you've got picks at the bottom of the hour for Seattle, Anaheim that you'd like to get to. And then after that, I'll give out some Nerfies.
Yeah, and I've actually got to play in the game coming up.
Oh.
With Boston and the Rockies.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there's a guy on the bump who I know the numbers aren't sexy, and I know you're going to back a pitcher pitching in Coors Field. But this guy's been very good to me as a pretty sizable dog throughout the season, and that's Cal Quantrill. I think Cal Quantrill's actually underrated. I think if there's a team that doesn't want to pay the price for a front-end starter right now, Cal Quantrill's a guy who's had a really solid year for Colorado. And if you wanted to get an extra fourth, fifth starter, or maybe a swing guy, I think he's a guy some contending teams could look for to add depth to the rotation this year. So I'm all about the Colorado Rockies today. I know that sounds crazy.
That does sound crazy.
They're taking on the Red Sox. Pavetta's on the bump for Boston. Here's the thing about Nick Pavetta. He's really solid. He gets the strikeouts. They rack up pretty well. Horrible at Coors Field, as most pitchers are, right? Really bad. 0-2, two starts, 17.18 ERA in 7 1/3 innings pitch. That's 14 earned runs over that span. And Cal Quantrill, here's the weirdest thing about him, why I like backing him. He is somehow better at home than on the road.
Yeah.
How can a pitcher pitch his home games at Coors Field and be better at home?
ERA, I have a theory.
4.06 versus 4.02 away. I think this is a guy who gets it done tonight. I'm backing Cal Quantrill.
My theory is some guys throw certain pitches that spin better in at altitude. That's my theory. I'm not like a physicist. I don't even know what scientist you would want to grade
physics.
That.
It's definitely physics.
But
It's not earth science, I can tell you that.
I have no idea. I'm not that much of a nerd. I play a nerd on TV. I'm really not a nerd in real life. Actually, I have nerd tendencies, but it's more sci-fi nerd.
That's weird.
Like, I know. Well, House of the Dragon. I mean, goodness.
Is that
good.
Sci-fi?
100% it's sci-fi.
It feels like medieval
science
and sci-fi.
Fiction. Sure. All right. Medieval fiction. Okay. Whatever.
Three seasons of watching the original to realize, oh, this isn't medieval times in real world history.
No, it's fiction. It's fake.
It took me a while to get
there. That's kind of the vibe.
All right, nerd, continue.
Star Trek, Star Wars. Is that sci-fi?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I like both of those. Anyways, Lord of the Rings, sci-fi. Anyways, I guess that could be medieval too. Anyways, I think there's something to a pitcher, depending on the type of stuff they throw, it breaking more or less at altitude. And also understanding, right, know thy enemy, understanding that you are pitching at altitude, tailoring your approach to best suit that. Some guys are probably better at that than others. For example, there was a guy by the name of Jose Urania who pitched for the Rockies for a number of years. Terrible at home.
Yeah.
Great on the road.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I can't deal with Colorado anymore.
So
he's gone.
So I got 135 this morning. It's now moved down to 124. And here's my deal, Jared. Maybe we could talk from a philosophical level here. with baseball, the day in, day out nature, there's so many games. There's just so many opportunities. Yeah. I've decided, and it's suited well this year, is that, look, I don't need as much evidence to back a dog. If I think a game really is closer to a coin flip than the number indicates, I'm willing to back the dog at that plus price, catching $1.35 at home. Let's bring it home,
I like
Cal.
That strategy. I'm on the Nerfy in this game. Again, Dustin just gave you a great handicap on Cal Quantrill. I'll give you the Nerfy-centric handicap on Cal Quantrill. 17-3 this year. 7-2 at home. I mean, that's elite. That's an 85% hit rate. His career hit rate, or I'll say since 2019, as far as back my numbers go, 74%, which, again, is not elite, but it's above average. The average is about 72%, about room temperature is what you're looking for with a starting pitcher.
Whoa. You're keeping your thermostat at 72?
No, I'm just saying it's room temperature. Ooh. That's right. 72 is like the, you know, widely accepted room temperature. You run a little hot, so your room temperature is a little lower. But you run hotter than average. That's the point. Average room temperature is 72.
Okay, fair. We keep it at 68, 69.
I keep it as low as possible in this heat. It's 110 degrees outside.
Good that power bill was about $200 for a two-bedroom apartment.
My electric bill went down last month.
Stop.
I think
you're just
walking
around naked, not turning the air on, staring at yourself in the mirror because you lost weight. I know what you do because I do the same thing too. It's just uglier.
No, you're not uglier. Just there's more of you to love. Yeah, that's all. There's just more of you to love. All right. On the other side, Pivetta. Listen, Pivetta's numbers, don't we have him for three up? I mean, his stuff's been really good lately. I'll give you the three up numbers now, and then I'll give you the overall numbers. Last 30 days here, 23 and two-thirds innings, 3.42 ERA, whip under one. Now, the numbers at Coors are bad. That scares, obviously, the bejeez out of me. But the Rockies didn't score any runs in nine innings yesterday. So I feel like, and to be fair, that actually is a decent reason to bet a Yerfie. Because when a team has to go to bed after going nine straight innings without scoring, they tend to wake up a little bit peed off. But I don't really think the Rockies have a whole lot of giddy up at the top of that lineup. Doyle scares me, McMahon a little bit. But I'll trust Pivetta's stuff. Good numbers in the first inning. 30% strikeout rate, whip under one, expected FIP below four. Those are all above average in Major League Baseball this year. And it's a plus money Nerfy. Again, these bets are coin flips. Even at Coors Field, these bets are coin flips. And I'll tell you how exactly they're coin flips. Because if I pull up Colorado's home numbers this year, and yes, I do track this because I'm a sicko. Colorado, actually, they've scored a decent amount in the first inning this year. More than a coin flip, I would say. It's a 60% Yerfie rate at Coors Field this year. So I don't really have any good data to back up that point. But overall, this year, they're down. Most of their numbers, obviously, on the road are down. I'll trust Nick Pivetta to get through the first inning. He's been good lately. What else is on your card today, bottom of the hour, sir?
I got a lot coming up, but I just have a question about the Yerfie-Nerfy thing since you are the father of first innings here. Look, how much in your handicap are those day-night splits? Because it feels like the slow starts, but that could go for a pitcher as well, not being able to get themselves amped up. How much do you put that into your process here coming up with your Yerfie or Nerfy?
Day game after night game, I like a Nerfy.
Sure.
Because the hitters had to play last night. The pitcher did not. Yep. So the pitcher knew he was starting a day game 5 days ago.
Yeah, if it was really late, they sent him home.
Exactly. And the hitters all had to play. So I think day game after. So these are little situational things that I have not yet graduated towards in tracking. It is a lot. That is a lot. You're asking a lot of me anyways on a day-to-day basis just to track all the games, home and away, all of the odds, etc. When you start adding those layers, like, for example, I tried this year to start tracking left-right. It's too much work. After a week of it, I was like, I will not be able to do this for the whole season because I'm so used to it being a very tight, concise, manual entry process every night. And the more I add to it, it might sound good to have those splits, but I just have to rely on, if I really want to find left-right splits, I just have to go to Fangraphs, take the guys that are in the projected top five of the order that day, and see what their numbers are against lefties or righties over the last month, and then I'll be able to get a similar number. It's a layer that I didn't want to do prep, that if I ever needed it, I knew I could do it. It's just another day of thing.
Yeah, sure.
Instead of night before, which is the process that I go through now.
You just file it away. Like there's a team that we're going to mention in three up, three down way later in the show that look, they're facing a lefty. It's basically find a way to back their offense because they're the best team in baseball. So you just know it's the Twins, it's the Phillies, it's the Mets, it's the Orioles, the Dodgers, like the Guardians. Arizona last night against the lefty went over their team total, was something I was thinking about, never pulled the trigger on. But that's an offense that crushes southpaws. Just know that going in when you're looking at these things.
Well, again, that is a big part of it, and that's the beauty of the first inning stuff. I know I only have to handicap the top five hitters.
Yeah.
If it gets to the sixth hitter,
then it happened.
The only way that it doesn't happen is bases loaded, two outs. And if it gets to that point and I'm on a nerfy, I'm probably on the wrong side anyways.
Well, also, I mean, there's also a way where they could keep batting because your boy, when he caught, had an issue when we went to the big field at 13 years old. And sometimes we'd get the strikeout, but one, we'd get through the five hole and they'd end up on first base. Wouldn't get that out there.
Yeah, I'd have to do the math, but I think even so, the only way you could have an inning where you get a sixth guy to the plate is bases loaded, two outs, okay, if there's not a run. Because where's the fourth guy going to stand?
He
needs to stand somewhere.
All right, look, you said you weren't good at science at the beginning. I'm not good at math. We're a horrible combination. How we ended up here at this desk is beyond anyone's
guess.
Can we
get a nerfy at Coors Field for crying out loud? We'll find out on the other side. Also, we'll get into a little NFL news from San Francisco on Brandon Ayuk. Where is he? Where in the world is Brandon Ayuk? We'll answer that question on the other side. Sharp Money on a Wednesday. Stay with us.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hey, we are back on VSIN, and we have a college football betting guide to talk about that drops August 1st. The NFL betting guide's out now, but VSIN Pro subscribers only get the tools with access to all of that goody information. This can help you prep for college and NFL. Experts provide profiles of all the teams with the advanced stats, trends, and power ratings, plus best bets on futures and season win total. Sign up before the end of July. Receive both guides and full VSIN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video exclusive data like splits through the Super Bowl. Early bird price there, $175. Football special discount price, it ends July 31st, so do not wait. VSIN.com/subscribe. Sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, coming up in 15 minutes, Eric Lindquist from Odd Shopper is going to come on. We're going to talk all things sports. I think mostly the conversation will revolve around the NFL and Major League Baseball. But right now, we're going to talk a little NFL. We got three outs to go in Denver to our nerfy. Cal Quantrill, 1-2-3, looks good in the first inning. But now the tough three outs with Pivetta against this very feisty Rockies team. But the news out of San Francisco today from Brandon Ayuk was weird. It was kind of awkward. Dustin, do you want to fill us in on exactly what happened? But to my understanding, he kind of was on the field and then he just abruptly left.
So Brandon Ayuk, not dressed, in street clothes, video of him that we'll have later in the show, walking off the field and into the 49ers main headquarters with John Lynch. Maybe there's a negotiation happening. Maybe there's something being finalized. Matt Barrows tweeted out the video over on X, so more developing there. But this just came out 7 minutes ago, and I'm just seeing it here, also via Matt Barrows, who covers the team for The Athletic. Trent Williams didn't report to 49ers camp. Trent Williams wants a new contract. That's per Kyle Shanahan. There's a lot of drama circling this team that went to the Super Bowl, disappointing fashion once again. Really thought they could have won a couple years ago before Brock Purdy got hurt in the NFC title game. And now it feels like there's a lot of guys who want to be paid. And, oh, by the way, you look at their salary cap numbers, the Niners have paid a lot of guys a lot of money across the years. So I don't know where they're going to find all this room to pay everybody. And there's a lot of questions about the vibes going into this season.
Yeah. Speaking of vibes, we have audio from John Lynch about this Brandon Ayuk contract. Let's take a listen.
You know, we started this really early. We made it a priority to try to get done. We've had excellent communication throughout. You know, really don't want to characterize. We haven't been able to, and that's a shame. But, you know, we're Brandon's a big part of our team, and we expect that he will be this year.
John, last year you gave us an absolute that Bosa would not be traded. Would you make that same statement about Brandon?
Well, Kyle and I always, you know, we kind of – I did say that with Bosa, and I felt that way. But, you know, I think, again, no absolutes there. We fully intend on Brandon being a Niner moving forward. We're always open to listen to things. But like I said, we expect Brandon to be an integral part of our team like he has been, and excited about that.
You ready for a sci-fi nerd reference?
Sure, I won't get it, but
only
do it.
A Sith deals in absolutes.
Unfortunately, I do understand that, so we are both losers.
Uh-oh. We just lost the Nerfy.
Did we really?
Pavetta gave up a homer.
Well, there's my... Sorry, buddy. It helps me a little
bit.
It's
okay. Jake Cave homers there off of Pavetta, hung a curveball. Really bad stuff. All right, anyways, moving on. That's how I feel about Brandon Ayuk, too. So there's a certain level of, I'll call it poker face, that John Lynch did not show in that interview. That was the first time I've seen that interview. When you get called out for something, like, these reporters are smart. Some of them are. These reporters talk to John every day. They log what they talk to. They're good at calling back conversations that John probably doesn't even remember. When that reporter, I'm not sure who it was, asked him that question, was like, hey, you said that with Bosa 100% not getting traded. And John laughed because he was like, oh, yeah, I did say that. And then you saw him kind of backtrack and try to downgrade the situation that's happening now. We expect Brandon Ayuk to be back. I don't want to deal in absolutes. So John Lynch, two things were true there. Probably shouldn't have said 100% with Bosa, because what you do now is you set the standard. If you give a mouse a cookie, he wants a glass of milk. The reporter got a 100% definitive answer that Bosa's not getting traded. He didn't get traded. Well, now you come back to the same situation a year later. Different, you know, not quite same situation, but similar vibes. And you ask that 100% question, and John Lynch is kind of trying to reach for an answer, which tells me that Brandon Ayuk is absolutely available number comes.
Look, there's a trickle-down effect that goes on with Brandon Ayuk's future. First, the Niners are the favorite in the NFC at plus 250, right? That's where we begin this. They're obviously the lead dog in that pack. When you look at the Super Bowl odds, they're second shot at the board at 6-1. And if you lose Brandon Ayuk, my question for you would then be, Jared, how much of a step back does this offense take? And now, I do think there's an impact throughout the futures market when it comes to awards with Brandon Ayuk potentially being gone. But they do have a lot of guys who have been there for a while, who've been very productive in a Kyle Shanahan system that is very quarterback friendly, which means it's also wide receiver friendly. And I'm not knocking Brandon Ayuk. I think he is a very, very good player. He is a great route runner, according to the guys who break down the film. But is he a dynamic guy? Is he a big play threat? I think he's a very consistent, reliable guy. And if you took him out of this lineup, what do you expect out of this Niners offense?
I think it's going to be the same. I do.
Mostly.
I honestly believe that there is a level of efficiency that this offense runs that you could put almost anyone in these spots. And I'm not saying that Brandon Ayuk is not better than the average receiver. He would obviously make more plays than the average receiver. But I just don't think the Niners are in a really strong position to negotiate. Here's the video of Ayuk walking off the field. I mean, I'm not going to overreact to this because it seems like he's just not in it. He's just kind of going through the motions. He's not even just wearing a backpack.
Sure, but I guess the point is the whole team's getting ready to try and get back to the Super Bowl, and your number one receiver is not dressed, walking off the
field.
He's
making a statement.
Dealing with his own stuff.
Yeah.
It's just bad vibes.
It is
bad
vibes.
The expectations set for this team. Now, here's where you miss Brandon Ayuk. After I just kind of told you where I'm diminishing some of his value, you miss him to move the chains. He is a great move the chains go-to receiver for a guy like Brock Purdy, who I'm a little bit higher on than others at this point. I was down for a while, but if he loses Ayuk, things do change in the expectations for Brock Purdy, and therefore he's not bettable if you thought he could be an MVP candidate. But what I would say is,
you're not bet Brock Purdy to win MVP. He will never get the credit in that offense.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if Brock Purdy loses Brandon Ayuk from this offense, there will be a shift, and the shift will be Christian McCaffrey. And while the NFL MVP has become an absolute award for just quarterbacks, there is a situation where Christian McCaffrey at 40-1 for MVP could become playable because they are more reliant on the run game, more reliant on their short passes to a running back out of the backfield. And let's be real, if McCaffrey's not available, it does hurt Brock Purdy because then they can just focus on him dropping back.
Here's the problem, though, with running the football. The Niners' offensive line stinks. It's really bad. Even with Trent Williams, it's a bottom 10 unit. So I will die on this hill this year. I think the Niners are not going to have a good season. I think they're going to stay under their win total, and I think they're going to struggle to make the playoffs. 10 wins.
Ooh. Oh, no, no, no.
Maybe that's 11.
That is a big drop.
I don't think it's a big drop. They won 12 games last year. What do you mean it's a big drop?
No. This team.
It's only a 2-win difference.
No. Look, if they have Ayuk, if they're at 100%. No. The San Francisco
49ers. Let's see how the vibes go over the next couple of weeks. And I reserve the right to change that opinion. But today, I think I'm betting under 11.5 wins on the Niners.
I think they made a couple underrated moves to ramp up this defense. I know they have some injuries they're going to have to deal with. But Leonard Floyd coming in, Devondre Campbell coming in. I really like those two additions. They're going to get after quarterbacks. Yeah, I don't know. I want to hate on him. But the time to hate on Kyle Shanahan is not the regular season. The time to hate on Kyle Shanahan is when we're towards the end of the postseason and there's 4-8 teams remaining on the board.
I just think there's a lot of, as you said, bad vibes this year where I don't get the sense that they're the best team in their conference. I don't get the sense that they have the best roster in their conference this year. I think Detroit and Philly are on par, and I think Detroit and Philly, especially Detroit, I think the vibes, the chemistry, the way they feel about the situation. Now, again, it could change, but you just saw the video of Brandon Ayuk walking off the field like he couldn't care two less that they're about to start kicking off practice. So that's just not a good – it's not a good look. The optics of that are bad.
It's a bad start. Bad start when the expectations are so high and you are literally this close away to getting over the hump. I mean, look, and the Detroit Lions, let's remember, you're talking about them competing with this team. They lost by a field goal.
And they had the lead for most of the game. They were frankly fortunate – or the Niners were frankly fortunate to win it.
So, look.
I think the Lions are better. I think on a neutral today, I'm not saying they should be favored, but if they weren't favored, I would bet the Lions.
Okay. Given the option of anyone in the NFC, I will stand by who I'm going all in on this year, though. I would still take the Eagles over everybody.
Agreed. I think the Niners on my NFC power ratings right now, not necessarily point spread ratings, but
Eagles?
Just how I feel about the teams. Niners are in the 3 spot behind Philly and Detroit. We'll see if Eric Lindquist agrees on the other side. Beast and Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, go to the VSiN website right now. You want to know why? Because we've got top betting picks with all the splits. That's Josh Applebaum doing his thing. Steve Mackinnon, power ratings, all kinds of fun trends to get your appetite warm. And then the Olympics. Nigel Seeley has picks, predictions for the Olympic soccer taking place right now across the pond in Paris. I'm Jared Smith in for Patrick Maher today. Sharp Money with you for the rest of the week. Ben Wilson's got you on Thursday and Friday. Joe Cirillo next week until Patrick makes his return next Friday, correct? Next Friday?
Next Friday,
Patrick will be back. I know we're keeping the seat warm. All of you are excited for Patrick's triumphant return.
Nothing worse than a warm toilet seat. Only worse than a warm toilet seat is a cold toilet seat. You go either way on that one.
I actually have one of those little, puffy toilet seats, so I never have to worry about
that. You live in 1983?
No, I have like a cover. Hey, listen, when you're a big guy, you take a lot of, it happens.
I respect the padding.
I need it, You gotta I want to keep my bare backsides nice and soft. All right, let's move on, please. Eric Lindquist from Odd Shopper is going to save us from this conversation. All right, Eric, help us settle a debate. We were talking about this on the other side, and I'm just kind of not that I'm down on the Niners. I just think relative to market expectations, I'm not high on them. I think Detroit and Philly to me are right there, even though the odds are kind of saying that they're the definitive, you know, second tier in the NFC. Do you think that gap is tighter between the Niners and those other top two teams, Philly and Detroit? Do you think San Francisco still, despite all the, you know, weird stuff going on behind the scenes with Brandon Ayuk and some of the injuries they're dealing with, do you still think they are the top dog in the NFC?
Yeah, I think the Brandon Ayuk thing was a lot of ado about nothing. He's basically under control of this team. There was never going to be any circumstance where he had leverage to be able to sit out. So for me, Brandon Ayuk, I think he was just firmly going to be a part of this team. Nice to see him reporting right from the get-go. But I do think that San Francisco's markedly better. I mean, offensively, defensively, outside of like a Baltimore meltdown, outside of a bad first half against Detroit last season, we just saw them roll as a juggernaut until the Kansas City matchup at the end of it. You're seeing them around plus 300, best available number on FanDuel to win the NFC. I think that's about fair. I mean, I don't know about it being close with Detroit and Philadelphia. Philadelphia will see the defensive side of things, maybe with Saquon Barkley firming up the running game. We see them offensively take over some spots in Detroit. I think they have the best offensive line in all of football, no question there. But still a team that at plus 550, it's still kind of in a prove-it territory for me and a much more difficult NFC North this time around.
All right, let's stay in the NFL because the team where I've seen Brandon Ayuk as a potential destination for is Pittsburgh. And I know you have a futures play on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who, quite frankly, there should be a CIA investigation into what the schedule makers did to Mike Tomlin this year. I don't know what that guy did to anger someone up there in the executive box, but the Pittsburgh Steelers have an absolute grind this year, and you don't think highly of them with that schedule, do you?
I surely do not. 8.5 being the number consensus across the industry. You can get it at minus 125 still on the under. I love the under of 8.5 wins there. Mike Tomlin, oh, he's never produced a losing season. I do not care when you have to play Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati to finish out your schedule. If you add up all of the teams in terms of implied win totals for the entire season, Pittsburgh's got the most difficult strength of schedule amongst every team in the NFL. No doubt about it. Everything you said is perfectly in line with what I'm seeing. It is a difficult gauntlet of a schedule to have Russell Wilson at the helm of your football team.
Eric, you're kind of doubling down on the NFC South here. We'll start with the Falcons, who I'm on board with this. I mean, I just don't see 10 wins. I think that entire division is very mediocre to me. And you look at a team that's coming into a season. I mean, when was the last time the Falcons got the 10 wins? It's probably the Matt Ryan days, right? It feels like a big jump. You're asking a lot of Cousins coming off the Achilles, new coaching staff, new everything. And in the panic situation, that's just kind of looming. Like you talk about distractions in San Francisco. There are a lot of distractions in Atlanta this year.
Yeah, and Atlanta invited all of them on themselves by taking Pennix there at 8. So congratulations to them on getting their quarterback and their quarterback of the future, even though he's an elder statesman compared to everybody else coming in from this rookie class. But I love the under of 9.5 wins for Falcons. And yeah, I'm going to be doubling down. I'm looking at Tampa Bay in that division. Took a look at New Orleans too, but I think defensively, Tampa Bay will do enough. And then shoring up Baker Mayfield for another season. Mike Evans just continuing to roll later stages of his career. Absolutely love what they did. Also adding Bucky Irving, who I think is going to be a sneaky guy in the running game. Rashad White's efficiency numbers kind of tailed off. If Tampa Bay can really excel there, I love the additions that they had from the rookie class. And then Atlanta, they end up using their second, third, fourth rounds to improve their defense, sort of. They didn't help their secondary in any way.
I think we might have lost Eric there, unfortunately. He was very excited about his NFC South.
I liked what he was bringing. Hopefully we can get it connected with Eric again.
Yeah.
He does it. He has a bunch of baseball plays we got to hit on as well. This gives us a moment real quick, though, for me to sneak in a baseball play real quick.
Yeah, do it.
Coming up here, we've got the Mariners, and I'm going to back Luis Castillo against the Angels, man. I'm going to go with total outs recorded, a plus money price, over 18.5 on Luis Castillo. Look, nothing is sexy about the Angels lineup at this point with no Mike Trout. So we'll go plus money, all the info, VSiN.com/picks. We do have Eric back. We look like we are all connected and all good there. Apologies for that, Eric. Let's stay in the South, the Falcons. American Hi-Fi had a song in 2001. It was called Flavor of the Week. Seems like Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta made them the Flavor of the Week, and you disagree with that.
I sure do. And also, this has a number of different things going on with it. We've got the Falcons that did try to increase some defensive numbers across the board. Second, third, fourth round getting used on defensive side of the football, but none of them at the cornerback position, none of them to help out that secondary, adding defensive linemen and Not really something that I think that they needed a ton of there in Atlanta. They're pretty stout against the run in 2023, but I think Kirk Cousins won a lot of fluky football games 2022, 2023, Minnesota Vikings days, a lot of one score games, and that can easily go the other way. You look at this division, Tampa Bay still feels like the undervalued team to me there, offensively, defensively, lots of pieces that they picked up. Bucky Irvin, if he can help out efficiently in that running game as well, I think he's a much better running back than people are giving credit for coming out of Oregon. I like Atlanta under 9.5 wins, and I really like Tampa Bay to come out of that NFC South this time around.
Yeah, it's how often do you get the defending champs of a division at over 3-1 to win that division? Like, that is just
not very often.
Yeah, that feels like that's something that even if they don't win it, it's just a bet you've got to make, because throughout the course of the year, as you know, Eric Lindquist joining us from Odd Shopper, follow him on X at Eric Lindquist, ups and downs. Like, Tampa could start fast, Atlanta could start slow, come back on the other side, and all of a sudden, you know, Tampa Bay squanders it down the stretch. But you have options with a long season when you're betting a division at a price that's, you know, only four teams can win the division, right? You're getting over 3-1 for Tampa. Very interesting price there as the NFC South kind of meanders its way along. Should be a really interesting season. All right, let's switch to baseball. I'll start with this game. I looked at the Nerfy Hart in this Tigers-Guardians game. I couldn't lay 50 cents for it because Bybee has these moments where it just blows up. But you think the under 7 is a wager to make?
There's a little bit of value still sitting at 70 or Tanner Bybee.
I think we're still having connections problems with Eric there, unfortunately. Yeah. We're going to work to get him back.
I'll give you guys Eric's play just because the connection seems off there. It was like trying to make up. He had a chipmunk thing going on just because something with the internet, probably on our end. All good. Eric was awesome. We'll talk to him again down the road. So he's going to back Michael Wacha and the Royals first. That's where he's looking at. He's going to look at the Guardians-Tigers game you just mentioned, under 7 at even money, which I really like. I'm on the plus money in Jack Flaherty at about $1.30. Juan Soto to hit a homer today for the Yanks against it is Sean Manaea for the Mets at 5-1. And then Robbie Ray making his debut for 2024.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from Robbie Ray yet.
Over 4.5 Ks minus $1.45.
I like it. I like the Robbie Ray over a lot for sure. I think the one thing I've noticed with the pitching props for guys that are starting their first game after a long layoff, that's where the advantage is in the market. Now, I haven't heard anything on pitch count for Robbie Ray tonight. I was asked a very similar question on a show this morning, and I was asked how I approach betting on pitchers that haven't pitched in a long time. And it's twofold, right? Like, we're a very visceral sports betting society now. We want to see something before we bet it. So it's hard for us to fathom betting positively or negatively on a guy that we haven't seen since, I think, last year. It's been over a year since Robbie Ray has started. So there's definitely some trepidation with risking something on a guy that you haven't seen. But you also have to kind of look at it from the other spectrum. The books haven't seen him either, so they have no idea what to expect. And that's where the upside, the downside can exist. So if you have any information on how many pitches he might throw tonight and you have a leg up, I noticed that there was no outs prop for Robbie Ray. I thought that was intriguing.
Well, sometimes they wait closer to first pitch. Maybe they can get more information.
Exactly.
But what I'd say is the Los Angeles Dodgers, it's pretty irrelevant what southpaw you want to throw their way. The best OPS in baseball against lefties. The most home runs in baseball. The third best batting average. I will be on the Dodgers team total. Got over 4.5 at even money. More on that later in the show.
All right. Good stuff. Some technical difficulties there with Eric, but he had some great picks and some great insight. Of course, you can follow him on X at Eric Lindquist. He is a handicapper with oddshopper.com. All right. On the other side, three-point stance. We'll talk a little more NFL. Any other quarterback battles worth debating? Stay with us. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
We are back. Got Ted Wynn coming up in 15 minutes, athletic NFL film analyst. I am Jared Smith in for Patrick Maher. And hey, check out that UFC promo we've got going on right now. July's ending with a bang. They've got not one but two titles on the line. Get your own crown. Jump in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. Download the app now. Use the code VSIN. That's code VSIN. New customers get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. I just lost another Nerfy, so you guys are watching me lose a ton of money today. It's a disappointing top of the first inning for JP Sears. Almost had a double play. Didn't get the double play. Instead, it's a sack fly. Altuve scores. And we are 0-2 on the day, so we'll try to turn that around lickety-split. But we do have some very interesting quarterback battles to discuss, Dustin, because I have two teams that are in my crosshairs right now. Gerard Mayo of the Patriots is the coach we're going to hear from first. I think the Patriots are in for a really long year, whether it's Drake May or Jacoby Brissett under center. But let's hear what the head coach has to say about QB1.
Coming out of the spring, I don't think there's any doubt Jacoby is the starting quarterback at this point in time. I mean, we can look at these other quarterbacks on the roster. At the same time, like, it's about competition. And so when we get out on the field this summer with the pads on, we'll see how it all plays out. But, you know, coming out of the spring, I mean, I think it's clear that Jacoby is the most pro-ready guy we have. The goal for Drake is just to get better each and every day. And look, it's not a straight line up to the top. There will be ups and downs. But if you look left to right, you just hope that if he started here, he's here. And once again, if he comes out here and he takes full advantage and lights it up, like, he could be the day one quarterback. But like I said, coming out of the spring, I think it's Jacoby.
I agree with that. I think who am I to agree or disagree? I haven't seen any of these guys play. Just based on my I've seen Jacoby play. I haven't seen Drake play in the NFL. Just based on my preseason analysis, I think it would have been asking a lot for Drake May, who's played, like 10 games in college? Like, he's played two seasons in college, basically. Yeah. And only one season was really a competitive one. Last year was really unique. UNC lost a ton of their stars, and you just saw the Tar Heels take a big step back. I don't think it's fair to grade Drake May off of last year's stats. I think he had one elite season in college and in one very incomplete season. But Jacoby Brissett's a very steady hand. The problem is the ceiling's very low. And I don't think that's the worst quarterback situation in the NFL. The next team that we're going to get to is probably the worst, but this is probably the second worst.
Well, win total's 4.5, juiced -160 to the over. You can get +135 on the under. And Jacoby Brissett, he's not going to win you games. He's also not going to lose you games. Something else is going to happen. There's nothing special or sexy about what he brings to the table under center. He's not going to make big-time throws, but also let's keep in mind, this is an offense that doesn't have weapons, which is why you absolutely cannot let Drake May play before he is ready. You have to be 100% certain he is ready because he does not have the players on the outside to elevate his game. And you just mentioned the disappointment at North Carolina a year ago. The reason I have questions about whether Drake May is that dude is because when the team needed him to elevate his play, he came back to the pack. I have concerns about Drake May. If they saw the talent that they need, then I totally understand that because 2 years ago, he was a dynamo as a dual threat. However, you look at what the Patriots have at offense. We're starting Kendrick Bourne. We're starting DeMario Douglas. Jalen Polk in the slot, who they just drafted this year. Hunter Henry is your tight end. You cannot put Drake May in a situation where you could hurt his development because he doesn't have players to help him out there.
Yeah, I bet under. So here's how I attack the Patriots. I bet under 5 wins. Stations is giving you 5 wins at a flat, even odds. I don't know if it's still available now, but I tweeted it out last week. I dropped a bunch of NFL futures on my X. Follow me at Jared Lee Smith over the last 10 days or so. That's one of them. It's my biggest NFL pre-flop bet. Probably my biggest bet of the season. Like, 5 units is a big one for me. I've got him dogs in all 17 games.
Well, I mean, what a start to the schedule. Like,
is there a win there in the first 8 weeks before they play the Titans in week 9?
I mean, I don't even know what are we supposed to do with this? Joe Burrow in week 1, a Seattle team that should be improved under a new regime, a new head coach, a better defense. At the Jets, at the Niners, back-to-back? You know what? Drake May might have to start because Jacoby Brissett might be injured at that point.
Who's the third string? They both might be hurt. So I think the Patriots are the worst team in the league this year. I think I would make that bet now. I don't think you have to make that bet now. They're the favorite. They're not going to be sinking much lower because they've already been bet up in that market. So no rush on that. I did feel urgency to bet under 5 wins because I just don't see a lot of positive things happening with the Patriots throughout training camp, right? Like what is the best case headline you're going to see? You were just told that Drake May is not the starter going into camp. So let's say he is the starter. That means Brissett was so bad that you let a rookie who's played 20 games in college football, who was very average last year, take your spot in less than 3 weeks. So either one of those scenarios does not shine lightly, positively on the New England Patriots. Either Brissett's the starter and he's like a C+, C-, just getting by with passing grades, which in the NFL is bad news bears, or you let a rookie who, again, arguably the least amount of experience any rookie's ever had in the NFL, and now he's starting day one.
Why are we not hammering Patriots' fewest wins plus 340?
Yeah, but well, hold on. Here's a better one. You can hammer it. It's just not going anywhere.
Last winless team.
Yes.
6-1.
That one's better.
Last winless team, 6-1. Seen that at DraftKings. I think that's a fantastic bet.
But here's the thing about that. Here's why I prefer. Sometimes I say, this is one of my old cliches for a long time. Sometimes it's easier to pick the teams who are going to stink than ones that are going to be
sure.
Good. Like it's sometimes the stink, you can smell it. It wafts. Bill Belichick is gone. All I've heard all the last 2 years is that Belichick was the reason that they weren't winning Super Bowls. It was Brady. Because now Brady went to Tampa and everything's great. Brady got the better end of that divorce, right? That's all I've heard the last 2 years. Well, now we're going to find out how the other shoe fits. We're going to just see if Gerard Mayo, who has about as much experience as a head coach as Dustin and I, can hold this thing together with the second worst quarterback situation in the league, a very, very tenuous one at best, and a very mediocre group of skill position players.
It's just
good luck scoring points.
Let's pull back a little bit on the decision with Gerard Mayo. The New England Patriots said, you know what, we're sick of the Bill Belichick culture, so we're going to hire one of his disciples who learned everything about coaching under him, who played under him and idolizes him. Like, God forbid we get a fresh pair of eyes with a new perspective on how to do things. No, we're moving on from Bill because we don't want it done that way anymore, so we're going to bring in a guy who pretty much learned how to only do it under that
guy. And has no experience at all. And it would be one thing if you had Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback during that transition. You'd feel better about that happening. It'd be another thing if you had, like, Justin Jefferson at receiver to at least attract the attention of the defense. Demario Douglas? Like, yeah. Who?
Also,
what?
I think, look, let's look at my New York Giants right now. I think there's going to be a shift in how teams build for that new quarterback. I believe the New York Giants, Daniel Jones, is lame duck. He's going to be gone next year. What they've done is put in the infrastructure for when they're ready to find a quarterback. It is a plug-and-play situation. They draft a quarterback. He's on a rookie deal. He has Malik Nabers as a weapon, right? He has all these better weapons than Daniel Jones had the last few years. The defense is much improved. You add Brian Burns to the pass rush here. You have Dexter Lawrence up front. I think when you look at the New England Patriots, I don't like the way they did things. I think if they were going to take a quarterback where they were drafting at number three, they needed to have other improvements so that that quarterback could hit the ground running. This is not a situation for a young quarterback to thrive in, and that's my biggest issue with what their offseason game plan has been.
Patriots under five units. And you guys, know me. You know me by now. I've been on this network now for over 2 years. I'm not one of those 5-10-unit lock whale, 50-unit max mega whale, this and that. That's not my thing. That's not my jam. Go somewhere else for that. I tell you how much I bet based off the unit size. 95% of my bets are for one unit. I'll take a couple other two units. You might see that occasionally, 1.5 units occasionally. I only put a 5-unit marker out there if I feel really strongly that I'm going to get some return here. And here's the way I view it. The Patriots are the worst team in the league this year. They're not going to win. I don't think they're going to win 3 games, nonetheless, 6. Which is what's required of me to lose this bet if I go under 5 at flat. Secondly, let's say they're on 4 wins. Well, they're going to be dogs most likely in every game down the stretch, except the Buffalo game week 18 could be dicey if Buffalo pulls their starters. But the way the playoffs work, like, you just can't think that way. If it's Buffalo, New England, week 18, and it's everyone playing, Buffalo's going to be a touchdown favorite in that game. If I'm really that concerned, just like I did last year, with Arizona in their last game. They were a dog. I was sitting on that win total. If they won, it would have went over. I needed the under. So I bet them plus money or plus points. They lost by two. Late field goal. Won both bets. That's how you play the win totals market. That's why I like going under on dogs, because they're probably going to be a dog down the stretch that you can get some plus money on. Ted Wynn on the other side. A little deep dive into the NFL. He's from The Athletic. You're watching VSiN.